have been the whiskey. Might have been the gin. Could have been the 3 or 4 6-packs, I don't know. But look at the mess I'm in. My head's like a football. I think I'm gonna die. Tell me, oh, my. Oh, wasn't that a party? Someone took a grapefruit, wore it like a hat. I saw someone under my kitchen table talking to my old tom cat. They were talking about a hockey. The cat was talking back. Along about that, everything went black. Oh, wasn't that a party? I'm sure it's just my memory playing tricks on me. But I think I saw my buddy cutting down my neighbor's street. Could have been the whiskey. Could have been the 3 or 4 6-packs, I don't know. But look at the mess I'm in. My head's like a football. I think I'm gonna die. Tell me, oh my. Oh, wasn't that a party? So you see, your honor, it was all in fun. A little bitty track meeting down on Main Street was just to see if the cops could run. Well, the runners in the CU in an alcoholic haze. I sure can use those 30 days to recover from the party. Could have been the whiskey, might have been the gin. Could have been the 3 or 4 6-packs, I don't know. But look at the mess I'm in. My head's like a football. I think I'm gonna die. Tell me, oh my. Oh, wasn't that a party? Could have been the whiskey. Might have been the gin. Could have been the 3 or 4 6-packs, I don't know. But look at the mess I'm in. My head's like a football.
Country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hang around. But I heard someone call my name one day and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge, every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
Wake up in the middle of the night and a truck stops stumbling around.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. Well, we made it back. Welcome back to me. We were off last night. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 8th of June, and it's a Wednesday. We managed to sneak Amy back across enemy lines and get her back in here last night, and too late for either one of us to do a show, and she doesn't do one on Wednesdays, but with any luck, she'll be here at her regularly scheduled time tomorrow. So that'll be good. I've missed her being on here. Hey, our class up in Washington is starting to fill up. If you've got any notion of getting in that one, you probably ought to think about doing it here pretty quick. And we've had some people sign up today that didn't because they had some physical problems that they were not sure that they could participate in the class. So I assured them, and one of the things you guys have heard me say, no telling how many thousand times on this show, is that everybody has the right to self-defense. Regardless, you know, if you've got any appendages at all at work sticking out of your body, if you've got half an arm and no legs and no other arm or whatever, I don't care. Somehow or another, there's got to be a way for you to defend yourself. And we've had several people that were grossly overweight. We've had people that were in wheelchairs. We've had like three or four in wheelchairs. We've had probably... I don't know, a half a dozen or so amputees. Now I'm talking about arm amputees, not legs. They could hop out there if they had both arms, it'd still be different. We had one guy that had polio when he was a kid, and his arm wasn't missing, but it just flopped. It was just, he had no move. It was cold. He couldn't do anything with it at all. He had to pick it up and lay it down, you know, wherever he wanted to. I don't know why he just didn't have it cut off, but it was, you know, kind of in the way of everything, but he wanted to keep it, so whatever. We had him in a couple of different classes. We've had, let's see... trying to think what else we may have had over the years. But anyway, what the point of the story is that we've learned pretty well to compensate for these things. You know what? And I better look and see here before I get any farther along and see if we have any sound, because I'm not seeing any remarks here in the chat room. So let me check. Yeah, we should be... let me check this one here. Yeah, it should be good. Okay, we're all right. So what I'm getting at is the fact that we've kind of learned over the years to be able to handle different challenges in different manners. So, yeah, Amy just had a good deal here. Go on YouTube. There's a guy that shoots I think it's a 1911. It was an automatic, semi-automatic. Shoots it with his feet. He has no arms. I mean, all the way to his shoulder sockets, he has no arms. And he not only shoots the 45, he lays the 45 down, takes the magazine out of it, puts rounds of ammunition in the magazine, puts the magazine back in the gun, racks the slide, and shoots some more. And he has no arms. There's another guy there that shoots a bow with his feet. didn't have any arms. There's people that have overcome every imaginable challenge that you can think of. And so just because you say, if you're using it for an excuse not to do the class, then that's one thing. But if you really want to take the class, take the class. We will make it work for you. We've got one lady taking the class. As a matter of fact, as it stands right now, we've got more women in this class than we do men. One of them is pregnant, just in her first trimester, but she had some concerns about it, and we talked about it today, and she's good to go. We have another one that has a very common challenge, and that is shoulder problems. And when you have, you know, what is it, rotator cuff problems or any type of problem with the shoulder, sometimes you may have a problem with presenting the weapon out of a hip holster. So as it stands right now, because I haven't talked to her, I haven't seen her, I don't know what her range of movement is, we'll find out when we get up there. But as it stands right now, she's going to have to use a cross draw, which is expressly prohibited in my classes. But everybody's entitled to the right to self-defense. If that is the only possible way that she can do it, then if she's right-handed, she'll stand on the left end of the line with nobody beside her on the left side. If she's left-handed, she'll stand on the right side. And we'll have somebody right there with her real close the whole time. But point is, we will make allowances for her. And we've managed to make allowances for everyone in order for them to get the full benefit of the class. Now, people say, well, he couldn't do that, and she couldn't do this. And, well, it doesn't matter. Fact is, because of the challenge, they may never be able to do that. So just because you can't do a particular thing, one certain skill set or technique of some kind, doesn't mean that you didn't get to take the whole class. Because you still get to watch, listen, and learn to the people that did, and you will have to make do, and we'll help you with that. We'll help you make do somehow to perform that technique without with whatever challenge that you have. You know, there may be had a guy in Wyoming one time that let's see, what was it, his left arm was amputated up to just above the elbow. He still had a little nub there at the end of his shoulder, but it wasn't particularly useful. He couldn't do a whole lot with it, but what he could do was he shot a revolver, shot a .357 Magnum revolver, and what he could do when he was out by himself is he put the gun under his arm to reload. And I said, well, that's not going to be the best thing, especially if you're shooting around other people. You're crossing this line several times and pointing it back behind you, and this is kind of dangerous. So let's see if we can figure out something else. Well, it's pretty easy with the revolver, actually. Well, it's actually pretty easy with any of them. But if you've got one fairly well-functioning hand, you can easily enough open the revolver up with one hand. Not too hard, a number of different ways that you can punch the ejector rod and clear the revolver, get the empties out of it. It's a little more difficult to do a tactical reload if you want to, if you've shot three rounds and want to take three out and replace those three and leave the three good ones in there. Not impossible, though, and I'll tell you how in a minute. It's not hard to reach up there and punch that plunger, whether it's with your good hand. Or in his case, he was able to do it safely after we spent a little time working with him to keep that muzzle pointed in a safe direction and use that nub that he had sticking out on his left shoulder to punch it, and he could also do it on his holster. So then, leaving the cylinder open, we're going to put the gun back in the holster, and it only goes down, obviously, as far as the cylinder. Now, anything shorter than a 4-inch barrel, this won't work very good. It won't work. Some holsters, it'll work with a 3-inch. None of them will work with a 2-inch. So, you've got challenges. You're going to have to trade guns. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. If you're going to do this safely and professionally and quickly, efficiently, you're going to need a different gun. So he shot a 5-inch Smith, and so it worked fine. You stick it in there, and it rests in the holster with the cylinder open. And at that point, if you're behind cover, or the threat has been eliminated, and you just want to do a tactical reload, you just want to top off the gun, then it's easy enough to pick the empties out and replace them. Pick the gun up, close the cylinder. And I want to caution you, if you're a revolver shooter, don't slam that cylinder shut. That is very hard on the crane of that weapon. That's not the way to do it. Close it in a little bit. There's 1,000 ways you can close the cylinder without slamming it like that. So he got where he could do it pretty well. And the shooting was not a problem. He shot well. It was just a few of the techniques we needed to work on, primarily not because he didn't know how to do it himself, but because he was not doing it safely if he was shooting around other people. So we got him all squared away with his reloads and all that stuff. And you can do practically the same thing with the semi-automatic. You can punch that magazine out. If it's an emergency reload and you drop your magazine on the ground, well, that's okay because the rest of us do too. You're welcome. And so if it's a tactical reload, you can put the gun in the holster, make sure it's on safe, or as safe as your particular gun will be, and then push the magazine release, pull the magazine out, stick it in your back pocket or your front pocket, either one, grab your other magazine, put it in, and you have just done a tactical reload. Piece of cake. We've got, for every technique that we do, all your malfunctions, all of your, everything from racking the slide to all of the malfunctions, all the reloads, everything, can be done if you have one reasonably functional hand. We had a guy up in Washington, up in Vancouver, when we did the 3-day class up there one time. And he was from, I forgot where he was from. He had taken a class from me before. I think he was from New Mexico. And he flew out there, flew into Vancouver, or Olympia, anyway, wherever he did. It must have been Olympia, because I don't think there's an airport in Vancouver. But anyway, whatever it was, Portland probably. He had on his firing hand, which I suggested that he change firing hands and use the other one as a support hand, but he was not up for that. So, but he did fine. It wasn't anything that I really strongly suggested he do. I just mentioned it, and then, well, okay, we'll work around it. And his problem was that his trigger finger on his firing hand was the joints were stiff, and he couldn't bend the finger. And it was also, I forgot what it was he told me happened to it, but it was kind of bulbous on the tip, and it wouldn't even very well fit in the trigger guard. So he did all of his shooting with his middle finger, and let the index finger ride alongside the gun, just under the slide. I had to be careful with not letting the finger interfere with the operation of the slide and create a malfunction because it slowed the slide down. But he did fine. Did a good job. I got pictures of him, running and gunning right along with everybody else. So, So back to the shoulder problem here. For those of you that have issues with that, and I've thought about this quite a bit myself. As a matter of fact, I have already made arrangements for that time if I get to that point where my shoulder is not working as well as it should. I have gotten an attachment for one of my holsters that is it creates a drop holster. Now, drop holsters are used for various things. What a drop holster does is you have an attachment, or either that or the holster is made that way, one or the other, that instead of the belt going in, holding the holster up right under the opening to the holster, if you understand what I mean, the belt loops itself are anywhere from an inch to, you know, 2 inches or more above the opening of the holster, so that the holster sets down a couple of inches. And that makes it oh so much easier for people that have shoulder problems to actually do a relatively normal presentation from a somewhat typical type of holster. This would be somewhere in between the standard high ride holster like I use now and the thigh rig that a lot of people use. Thigh rigs, except in certain tactical applications, are silly. People that wear those with no tactical other, you know, vest and gear and rifle and magazines and all that kind of stuff are just, I think, just goofy. But if that's what they want to do, I have no problem with it whatsoever. It's slow. It's not very secure. It's ungainly. It looks silly. But if that's what you want to do, knock yourself out. I don't see it as being dangerous. I just see it as being goofy. Hey, that was... Oh, that's Radio Doc. Get up a little closer there. Let me see who all we got in here tonight while we're talking about this. And I noticed, what did you say, Yakima Glock, a minute ago? Oh, yeah, about the guy that shoots the bow with no arms. Yeah, I should have mentioned, he doesn't just shoot the bow with no arms. He doesn't just make the arrow go out yonder somewhere. He's a champion. He is competitive as hell, and he wins stuff and beats other people. He's good. He's really, really good. Far better than I am. With two good arms, far better. Yeah, I think evidently Yakima Glock knows who I'm talking about there. We've got two or three. No, we're going to have three. We're going to have three ladies taking the class. One is pregnant. One has shoulder problems. And one, and she's a little more elderly than the other ones. And then there's another one that is, relatively elderly. She has some other issues besides shoulder stuff that causes, tremendous fatigue and stuff. So of the three women that's there so far, we have, all three of them have challenges that could potentially, have us do some, you know, get some special attention to get through it. But they'll get through it. Radio Doc, I know you got arthritis in your hands, and I'm going to tell all of you, and I've told every one of you here several times, but just in case you weren't listening and didn't hear me, I have two words for you. Diatomaceous earth. Get it, use it, continue to use it, and you will receive relief for your arthritis. Arthritis, rheumatism, any other type of joint problems, bone problems, and diatomaceous earth will help. I promise you, it will offer you at least some degree of relief. And I've had some people that have virtually don't even feel it, doesn't bother them anymore. And we had I've got a testimonial from a guy that had a cutting horse one time that they retired off of the circuit because he had rheumatism or something in his left front shoulder. So they started feeding him diatomaceous earth, not because of his left front shoulder, but because of, you know, just because it's a great supplement, you know, for, works good for, internal parasites and, you know, quite a number of things. Keep your coat slick, you know, on horses, and it's just a good thing to feed them. And they found out that this horse not only wasn't favoring the leg anymore after a while, they put him back in the ring. And I don't know how many years, you know, how long after that he stayed in there, but they started running him again. So it works, I promise you. Give it a shot. Let's see. Oh, let's get back to the Yakima Glock. No, I haven't found anything, or I haven't found that diatomaceous earth helps with gout. What I have found is that black cherry juice helps with gout a lot. That's all I take. Haven't had gout in a long time. There was a while there, and I don't know what was causing it. There's a while I had it probably, I don't know, half a dozen or so times, you know, maybe 10. And one time it was so bad, my foot was swelled so much that I literally could not rest the sheet of the bed on my foot. No possible way I could put all the covers on it. I couldn't even rest the sheet. I couldn't touch it, period. But that's when I learned about black cherry juice. And it definitely makes a difference. Let's get back to the drop holster a little bit, then we'll go to a break. On this, that's right, Peanut Rider. The diatomaceous earth, that's the only thing. Horses, dogs, everything. Feed it to all your animals. Feed it to your chickens. Put it out there, you know, bust open a bag and put some out there wherever they do their dusting and bathing, and that'll keep lice and chiggers and stuff off of them. Put it in their feed, and it makes their eggshells harder. When you have a problem with some eggs that you can't pick up because the eggshells are so thin, feed them diatomaceous earth. They say there's guys that have dairies that say that diatomaceous earth has increased their milk production, some of them as high as 17%. Almost all of them at least 5%. So it's not expensive. It is well worth the money. All right, back to the drop holster. That's one thing they're good for, is the fact that for people that have bad shoulders. But the other thing that's not a bad idea for people that live in colder areas. Well, you don't even have to live in a colder area. You know, people who live in Phoenix think it's cold when it gets down to 60. So, but that drop holster allows you to wear a waist-length jacket, however heavy the jacket is, doesn't matter. That way you can wear that jacket and have your grip of your handgun just outside and below the jacket. Now, some of these drop holster attachments also put the handle out just a little bit. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, particularly sometimes women are built in such a way, sometimes the drop holster is very beneficial to them. People that wear jackets. There's several things. Like I said, I've already made arrangements. I have a holster that set up for that, have the attachment for it, and when and if that time comes, well, I'm going to already be ready for it. Doc says you can buy a little capsule machine. You can put diatomaceous earth in a capsule, but I'm not sure why you would want to do that for sure, because first place, you take like a teaspoon of it. I don't know how many capsules you'd have to fill up to be a teaspoon. And why you would want to take capsules when you can just put it in water and drink it. But I guess if you don't want to drink it, then you can take the capsules. But you'd probably have to take 10 capsules or so to get the proper amount in you, or at least what I call the proper amount anyway. Let's see. Yeah, Peanut Rider, as long as you listen to this show, you ought to know that. Diatomaceous earth does not dissolve. Yes, you can put it in coffee, but you have to stir the coffee every time you get a drink. You set it down, eventually it's going to settle to the bottom. If you put it in water, it settles fairly quickly. Anything thin like that, it settles fairly quickly. Orange juice is better. Not only can you not taste it in the orange juice is thicker and heavier, and it will stay suspended much longer. But even with orange juice, if you leave it sitting long enough, it'll all settle down to the bottom. So, there, Yakima Glock just put the attachment there. It shows you one of the things that looks like possibly, I don't know if that's a Blade Tech or what, but anyway, whichever it is, that is an attachment that drops that down. And there's other ones that are not quite as big as that one, don't take up quite as much room. I had sent one today to someone. I'll find it during the break and show it to you. It's a little more compact than that one, but that one does look very rugged, very solid. So that's definitely a good thing too. All right, well, I'll be back here, Sherry Vortley.
In 17 hours, picking me a bouquet of dogwood flowers, and I'm hoping for rally. I can see my baby tonight. So write me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Write me, mama, any way you feel. Hey, mama, write me. Write me, mama, like the wind and the rain. Write me, mama, like a southbound train.
Thank you.
She's back! Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
You must figure I'm a real dangerous man.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right, we're back. Rolex asking about how many people do we need to get a class going. It is doc classes run from it depends, anywhere from $75 to a basic 4-hour concealed carry class all the way up to $950 and pretty much everything in between. So we've got one for $75, one for, I think there's two for, one for $125, one for $175, several of them for $250, a couple of them $395, some of them $450, one, two, three of them for $950, and one that is, I think, $1,250. So pretty much take your pick. Rolex, it depends a lot on, like, which class it is. I'm not going to drive all the way to Syracuse, New York to do 4-hour concealed carry classes for six people. But you understand what I'm getting at there. I've got to be able to cover travel expenses and lodging and everything else. So it varies quite a bit, but on the average, the 3-day class that we do, that is by far the most popular class we do out on the road. And it's typically $950, and sometimes, depending on where it's at, what the logistics of it is, I can offer some pretty good discounts for that. And but that is overwhelmingly the most popular class that we do out on the road for whatever reason. The handgun is it's a popular tool. There's no question about it. So if Doc, that sounds like a good deal. I would take you up on that, by golly. If we could get enough people together, I would head to Sissimippi and we'd work on that. And the other thing is too, if I get more than, and it kind of depends on who all is taking the class. Sometimes, if I get more than six people or six or more, then I also need to bring an additional instructor, unless one of the people that is, sometimes I get two or three or more people that are return students, in which case I am more comfortable with not having the extra help on the range. If it's a bunch of new people, then I won't do that. I won't even think about it. Won't entertain it for a minute. Five is the absolute most that I'll do if they're all new people. So a lot of things go into that. So let's see. There's there's a lot of issues with a lot of controversy between whether you're going to use reloads or factory ammo. And reloads typically are not allowed, not only in my class, but in any class. Any class that is somewhat considered professional. There are some guys out there that are just trying to make money out of their garage on a weekend that watch some YouTube videos and claim to be an instructor, and they say, it's all right, I don't care. Well, it is a huge liability thing, and I know Doc's attitude on that, and mine is the same. I've been loading, I've had less of my rounds misfire or squib or something than I have factory rounds. But people that reload like me and Doc are not the norm for the people that we get in some of these classes. Matter of fact, I had a guy in an advanced concealed carry class here maybe a month ago that had two problems with reloads in a three-hour session out on the range. That's why we don't allow reloads. I can't talk to somebody and say, okay, well, you say you've been loading all this time, never had any problems, so you're probably okay, and the other guy just started last week, so I'll let you, but I can't let him. So you can't do that. So we don't let anybody. I will, in the long-range handgun class, I'll allow reloads with a waiver. Same with well, we're not even doing that long-range rifle class right now. But the dedicated rifleman class, I would rather you not. I want you to see what you can do with the typical rounds that you use, bulk stuff. We're not looking for match-grade precision accuracy there. So, anyway, hopefully everybody can understand why nobody in the world allows... I shouldn't say nobody in the world. I said that there are exceptions to it. But none of your, gun sight, front sight, lethal force, Lethal Force Institute, Thunder Ranch, Southwest Shooting Authority, none of them will allow reloads, period. Even if there wasn't a risk of a risk of something going wrong, a danger of some kind, there's still a risk of somebody holding up the class. Well, you've got this problem, that problem. I can't tell you how many people we've had with revolvers that weren't crimped, the rounds weren't crimped properly, and the bullets jumped forward and locked the gun up. So what do I do? Say, well, your gun's locked up, go put it in the truck and go home. It's not going to do that with factory rounds. It's not going to do it with my rounds. I doubt very seriously it's going to do it with the Doc's rounds. But I don't know everybody out there. So we've had bullets jump in, bullets go or jump out, and bullets get pushed back in. We've had rounds that didn't get, when the bullet was seated, it didn't crimp the brass, but bring it down, I guess you'd call it a crimp. It was still flared slightly and wouldn't chamber. Primers fall out, and people trying to put primers in oversized holes that were already worn out and shouldn't be taken a primer, should have been thrown away. Trying to get one more RAM, one more use out of it, and it didn't work. So that's the answer. Rolex, no, I don't have ammo for sale anymore. I used to deal with quite, pretty large volumes, and I could offer pretty good deals, but right now you can find just as good a deals as I can offer in 100 different places online. And even with the Even with your shipping, what you'd want to do is look for someone that sells ammo not in your state, because in your state you'll have to pay sales tax. So on top of shipping, so you can find places. And if you check around a little bit, it's always a good idea to spend some time checking, because you'll find some once in a while that will do a $9.95 shipping cost regardless of how much it is. Centerfire Systems does that pretty frequently. AmmoMan.com doesn't charge any shipping at all. His prices are a little bit higher, but he covers the shipping. So look around, shop around a little bit. Do not if you find one out there that says, hey, this is 1,000 rounds of 9mm for $85. Well, don't jump on it thinking that your shipping is still going to keep it under the price of everybody else, because sometimes they may have in the fine print, they don't tell you that it's going to be 3 days select or whatever it is, 2 days shipping or something. You wind up paying $65 to have it sent to you or more. Typically, most of these places will charge $20 or less for a case of ammo. So shop around a little bit. Take your time. There are oodles and gobs of places out there that sell very reasonably priced ammo. The biggest competitive factor is going to be shipping cost. So, you can spend 20 minutes or so online and find all kinds of good deals. Once in a while, Cheaper Than Dirt has good deals. Every time else, they're expensiver than hell. But sometimes they're cheaper than dirt. Centerfire Systems has some good prices quite often. J&G Sales has good prices as long as you're not in Arizona. If you're in Arizona, you're going to pay shipping and sales tax. Said Ammo Man. Lucky Gunner is another one. Lucky Gunner has really good prices generally. So do a little shopping. And most of your Southern Ohio guns, I don't like dealing with them. I don't like the people, but they have some pretty good prices sometimes. Let's see, who's another one? CDNN. CDNN Investments, I think, is what the name of it is, down in Abilene, Texas. And I haven't done business with them for a long time. They made me mad over a check one time, and I haven't done business with them since. But they do have good prices usually. Anyway, we'll get off of that here and move on to bigger and better things. Centerfire Systems is a good place for a lot of things. You can find AKs cheap. You can find the Korean magazines. You can find good deals on ammo. Drums, AK drums, extra high capacity magazines for just about everything. Centerfire Systems has got some good deals, good stuff. So, mountain shooter, most everybody picks up their own brass when they get done. That's another problem we have sometimes with people. People that are reloaders. Not everybody. I'm sure most of you guys listening to this are smart enough not to do this. But I have seen people, and it's that whole muscle memory thing. These guys will go out and shoot, and they'll be so worried about where that piece of shiny new brass is going that they actually will start looking at the brass and trying to see where it lands and not even follow through with their shot. We had one guy in Farmington. This has only happened one time, thank goodness. He got through shooting. He saw his brass land out there. He just starts walking out on the range. Luckily, he was on the end, and I was right behind him. Just as luck would have it, I was 3 feet away from him. And he just starts walking down range. Going to go pick up that brass. Damn the instruction, or damn the where the bullets went on the target. But I'm having fun, I'm making noise, and now I'm going to go pick up my brass. So this muscle memory can be a very good thing, but it can be a killer, literally. I have seen so many things, so many very strange, what seems just goofy and silly as hell, contributed to habits, to muscle memory. So, let's see. Let me check and see what's going on in the chat room here. There's, Peanut Rider said there's a good place there, LAX Ammo, in Southern California. There's also a place up in Yakima. I forgot what it is. What is it? Yakima Glock Tactical Supply, I think. They don't manufacture the ammo there, but they get some from a place that's not too far away. It's over off the Columbia River there, east of Portland somewhere, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember exactly. But and there's a difference between commercially remanufactured and reloads, Doc. You know that. With commercially remanufactured, then you have someone else that takes the liability if something happens, just like any other company. When you reload and something happens, then you take all the liability. So, all right. Well, we've managed to just about eat up our time already. There was a, let's see, talked about all of that. I'm trying to look and see just where I'm at in the lineup here, see what all I've missed. Let's go over this real quickly, even if it runs us a couple minutes over. Let's do this real quick. You guys probably have seen the special that Katie Couric did on, it's called Under the Gun, and it was supposed to be unbiased and all this stuff. Well, it was very biased. It was an anti-gun documentary is what it was, even though they had some pro-gun people in there. As a matter of fact, John Lott, they dropped out, I don't remember how much it was, 40 minutes or 4 hours or whatever in the hell it was, completely deleted it. Didn't show it. And they, it was just, and she lied about it. And then to top it all off, they committed several felonies in procuring these guns to prove how easy it was to get what they called illegal guns without background checks. The problem is they didn't think it through very well. Matter of fact, they didn't think it through at all. They got one of their guys from Colorado. He was instructed to go to Arizona and buy these guns. Well, the you can't. That's true, Doc. I understand that, but they still are a company, and they still have. They're still responsible for their. They're the ones that will take the fall instead of you taking it yourself. Plus liability, you know, if I allow it and you get hurt with one of your reloads, then I'm also going to be found. Of course, I've got insurance to combat that kind of stuff. But anyway, there's no end to the idiocy that is in these, in liability suits like that. Let's see. Oh, yeah. You can't buy. You can't go to a dealer. I mean, you can't go to another state, buy a gun from an individual, and go back to your state. It is a federal felony. You just can't do that. In some cases, depending on state law, federal law allows it, but your state law may not. You cannot go and buy a gun from a dealer and go back to your state. Take California, for instance. There's a whole long line of crap you have to go through to do that. Some states do not allow purchasing even long guns from other states. Some states will allow you to buy a long gun from a a neighboring state, one that shares a border, but you still can't buy a handgun unless you go through a deal. Matter of fact, if you let's say if you're from Colorado, yes, you can go to New Mexico, buy a long gun from a dealer, and turn around and take it home. You cannot legally buy it from an individual. If you are, but if you're from Colorado and you buy a handgun the same time you buy the long gun, you have to have the handgun shipped to a dealer in your state to pick up. You cannot take that handgun across state lines, period. No matter if you're transferring it, no matter how you purchased it, it doesn't matter if it was your grandpa's gun and he died and left it to you. It doesn't make any difference. If you take possession of that handgun and take it across state lines, you are committing a federal felony. It's that simple. No ifs, ands, or buts, maybes, or exceptions, period. And that's what these folks, Katie Couric and her liberal anal orifices, did. And then she claimed, well, she said, well, we bought these guns, but they never left the state. As a matter of fact, when we got done filming, we turned them over to law enforcement to be destroyed. Well, she should have checked on that a little bit. Number one, just because she turned them over to law enforcement after it doesn't change the fact that they already committed several felonies in obtaining these guns. The other thing is that she didn't check on, here in Arizona, it is against state law for municipalities, cities, law enforcement, whatever, to destroy guns that have been they just can't destroy them, no matter what. If they've been confiscated, if they've been used in a crime, if they've done whatever, once they have got to a point where the guns are eligible to be removed from the evidence locker or whatever, then they are supposed to be available for sale to the general public. They cannot, by law, destroy those guns. They didn't check on that part of it. So, well, there you have it. There's my penny and a half worth. So I'm going to scoot on out of here. We'll see you guys tomorrow. And Amy, with any luck at all, Amy will be with us tomorrow. And all dressed up here and with bells on and ready to go. So, all right, I'm looking for my, there it is. All right, hasta lumbago. I'll see you guys tomorrow night, and I appreciate you joining me. Good night.
Been listening to The Shooting Bench. Tune in Monday through Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. to midnight Eastern for the most politically incorrect show on talk radio. Tune in again on Fridays at the same time for 2 hours of classic country music on Liberty Lounge.
Spend some time in San Francisco.
And catch Living Way Out Here with me, Amy Reynolds, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, for the only good news out there. Trivia, stories, tips, hints, and fun on Living Way Out Here right here on the Survival Circle Network.
And I thanked him as I was leaving.